Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos is daf Hey. We are on Hamad Aleph. We're about 8 or 9 lines down from the top of the Amud. Elam Rebbe Zero. And we are doing the following. Gemara asked a question yesterday on Dal Amud Aleph. And we are answering the question. It's going to take the Gemara a full block from the time that it asked the question to the time that it answered the question. So let's go over the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is that in the Mishnah we saw that the Malacha Votzah can be accomplished by me taking an item and putting it into the hand of another person who's standing in another rishus. So the Mishnah's example, which we've gone over now numerous times, the same number of days that we've been learning Shabbos, that's the number of times we've gone over it, is that when you have the Baal Bayis standing in the house and he takes an item and he puts it into the hand of the Ani who's standing on the outside, so he has successfully violated the Malacha Votzah by transferring from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Harabim. And conversely, the Ani takes an item and puts it into the hand of the Baal Bayis. So he went now from a Rishas Ram to Rishas Yachid. He too violated the Malach of Hotzah. The Gemara's question, which it asked yesterday on Dal Amud Aleph, is that in order to violate the Malach of Hotzah, you need an Akir and Hanacha. That's a given. And the Gemara introduced us yesterday to another given, which is that it has to be a Makam Dalad al Dalad. The surface area in which you take the item off of, Akira, or the surface item in which you put the item on, Hanacha, has to be a Makam Dalad al Dalad. And a hand is not a Makam Dalad al Dalad. Dalad by Dalad is Dal by Dalad Tfachim, which is about a foot by a foot, and your hand, obviously, is smaller than that area. And so how can the Mishnah tell us that a person is going to be chayiv on the Malach Votzah when you're missing this basic feature of you don't have an Akira, you don't have an Anacha? How do I know that I need an area of Makam Dalad Dalad? So the Gemara just assumes it. The Gemara never gives a reason why. Yesterday I quoted Tosfos on yesterday's daf. Tosfos offers a couple of suggestions. Either it's a Svara or it's based on a Drasha in terms of how we know that there's a requirement of Makam Dalad Dalad. And so, with that in play, so the Gemara's question yesterday is a very strong question. How did the Mishnah say that you're chayv when you don't have a makam dalad al dalad? Yesterday, we went through a couple of attempts of answering the question. So far, we've gone through basically two attempts. One attempt was to say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva does not require a makam dalad al dalad. Rabbi Kiva subscribes to this principle of klut kamisho and chadamya, that when something is absorbed in an area, it's as if it is munach, it's as if it's stationary. And so therefore the hand, even though it's not situated in the Rishus Rabin, but, sorry, it's not a makam dalad dalad, but kluta, but because it is now in a Rishus, so it's kamisho and chadamya, so as if it's as if it's now based on the ground. So that is one possibility. The Gemara dismissed that possibility. First of all, from Rabbi Akiva, we don't know that that he would subscribe to this principle both on the Akira and on the Hanacha, and it's pretty clear from Rabbi Akiva that he only subscribes to one of the two, but not to both. The Gemara went through a different approach, and maybe the author of our Mishnah is like Rebbe. Now, Rebbe holds like a similar idea of Rabbi Akiva, but Rebbe's scenario is the inverse. You were standing in a Rishus Rabim, you threw something through a house. It went through the opening of the window of one side of the house and went through the opening of the window of another side of the house and went to the other side and landed another Rishus Rabim. Rebbe says you're chayiv, and we have a tradition that when Rebbe says you're chayiv, he really means you're chayiv two times over. Why? Because as it's going through the airspace of the house, so we're going to say that it landed in there, even though it didn't. It physically didn't. Halachically, it did. And then it was okir, halachically. It's as if it went then from the house into the second Rishus Rabim. And so therefore you see that according to Rebbe, he subscribes to this principle of kluta, and on top of that, both on the Akira and the Hanacha. If then our Mishnah is going like Rebbe, so everything's solved. The Gemara says everything's not solved, because that case is talking about where the item went through a house. A house has got a roof over the top of it. It's not kluta kamisho hancha. The Gemara employs a concept which is similar, but it's a stronger concept, which is basic command amalia dummy. The house is like it's filled up. And so therefore, when it goes through a house with a roof over the top of it, so because we view the house as if it's totally filled, so this is stronger than kluta kamisho hancha. And so under those circumstances, yes, it's as if now the item has came to rest, even though it was not physically rested, but it was in the house. The Gemara says, all right, so why don't we just simply suggest that the scenario of our Mishnah is where the Baal Bayis is in a house with a roof over top. Now, that's not a stretch. That's probably what happened. And the Ani, when he's standing outside, well, it's a Rishus Rabim with a roof. The Gemara rejects that out of hand. The Gemara says there's no such thing as a Rishus Rabim with a roof. By definition, a Rishus Rabim has to be an open area. It cannot be a roofed area. And so, therefore, the Gemara rejects this out of hand. And so, therefore, we failed on that attempt as well. So here we are now, still trying to come to an answer to the question, how can a hand be considered a makam dalad al dalad? Okay, and a number of you already suggested yesterday what the answer is, and you were correct, but just a little bit premature, as the Gemara is going to get wind its way to that answer, but not yet. So Elam Rabbi Zera, so picking it up now, Hamani Acherim, he is the opinion of Acherim, the Tanya we learned on the Braisa, Acherim Omrim, Amad Bim Kama V'Kibo Chayav, Akamim Kama V'Kibo Potter. Now this statement of Acherim deals with the following scenario. I throw an item to a person, and me throwing an item to a person, let's say it's he's four amas away, or I'm in a Rishus Yachid, he's in a Rishus Rab. It could work either way, and he catches the item, and it was a good toss. I threw it right to him. He didn't have to move. So what did I do, the thrower? I did the Akira, I did the Hanacha. Now I know he caught it, but he didn't have to move. So therefore, it's as if I did both, not as if I did both. I did the Akira, I did the Hanacha. However, Akar Mim Kamo, if let's say my toss wasn't good and he had to run in order to catch it, so I'm going to be putter, he's going to be putter. Because in order for him to catch it now, he had to move. So that means I did the Akira, but he did the Hanacha. Amad Bim Kamo, the Gemara spells this out. Amad Bim Kamo, the Kiba Chayv Habin and Hanacha Agabe. I'm sorry, the Gemara does not spell it out. The Gemara now moves to making the point. So the Gemara says, okay, he caught it. That's wonderful. But don't you need a makam dalin? And again, when you're catching with your hands. It's not a makam dalin. So the Gemara says, okay, but so you see over here, you don't need a makam dalin by dalin. So the Gemara says, great. That's wonderful. But again, that only solves for half the problem. Because in our Mishnah, we said that we don't need a makam dalin both on the Hanacha and on the Akira, and the Gemara is now going to reiterate a point today that I made yesterday. So the Gemara says, look, let's go back to what we said yesterday. Even if I can conclude that I don't need a makam dala by the Hanacha, I'm still going to require an Akira from a makam dala dalet. Now the Gemara said this yesterday as well. It's a little bit difficult to understand why there would be such a distinction, why you would need a makam dala by the Akira, not by the Hanacha. I didn't quote the Tosfos yesterday. Tosfos does make a suggestion in terms of why that should be, but the Gemara just simply says, just because I proved one side doesn't necessarily mean the other. So, Hakira Beina Vanacha Nami Dilma Pashi Kanafe VeKible. So the Gemara Deika Gabe Deika Nami Hanacha. And on top of that, the Gemara says, even in the scenario where I threw it to him and he didn't move and he caught it, how do you know he caught it with his hand? It could very well be that he just opened up his garment and he caught his garment. Or, I know, all of us think this, or he had a baseball glove. And the baseball glove is 4x4. If the baseball glove is 4x4, so that's a makam dalad dalad. So it's possible now that doesn't prove anything in our discussion. Am Rabbi Abba Masisin Kigon. Okay, so we are now going to move on. Because what we've been doing up until now is that basically we, in our problem of how does the Mishnah require demand a chiyuv, carbon chatas? How is this a malach of hotzah when there isn't a makum dalad dalad? Up until now, the approach of the Gemara has been, well, there's got to be a Tana who doesn't subscribe to this rule of makum dalad dalad. And so what we've been doing now since Dalamad Aleph is we've been saying, well, maybe it's Rabbi Kiva, well, maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, well, maybe it's this position of the Acherim. And the Gemara, every single time, basically ran into a wall because we haven't proven that there's this requirement of, or they waive the requirement of makom dala dalet. So now what the Gemara is going to do is it's basically going to try to attack the problem from an alternative solution. And that is that the Mishnah is circumstantial. Meaning our Mishnah subscribes to the rule that you need a makom dala dalet. And as far as the understanding of our Mishnah, maybe our Mishnah is describing certain specific circumstances. And so it's basically a new way to attack the same problem. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba Masisin Kagon. Okay, the Girsa over here is a little bit shaky, but Shekiba Batraska. I'm just going to read the parentheses as it is. Whatever the Girsa is, it speaks to the same idea. In the Mishnah's case, when the Balabais handed the item to the Ani, he didn't put it in his hand. The Balabais was holding a basket. And the basket was 4x4 Tzfachim. Okay, and now you have a Makum Dalal Adalan. Vihinich Agabi Traska. Deikanami Hanacha. So, and now you have Hanacha. You have Hanacha Makum Dalal Adalan. So basically, what do? We gave Nukimta in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, that's really nice. That's not what the Mishnah says. Vahayado Kitani. So the Mishnah says Yado. And you read the Mishnah, you translate the simple definitions of the Mishnah. And so the Gemara says, well, Tani Traskal should be Yado. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but what you could do is you could read into the Mishnah. Reading into the Mishnah, obviously, is always a course of action that the Gemara takes numerous times. Admittedly, it's a bit of a dochek. It's a bit of a forced answer in terms of reinterpreting the Mishnah. Hand doesn't mean hand. Hand means basket in the hand. Okay, but you could do it that way. So the Gemara says, okay, the basket in the hand works when you are in Rishos Yachid, because consider, and the Gemara now is going to be spending some time with this point, not too much, but consider when you're in the house, so you're in a Rishos Yachid. The basket is a makum dalal al dalal. Okay, fine, and the basket too is considered Rishos Yachid. That's fine. But when you're in the Rishos Harabim, and you're now holding a basket in the Rishos Harabim, the basket now, which is a makum dalal dalal, it has to be, because that's the entire answer of the Gemara. So the basket area-wise is dalad by dalad, and the basket now in terms of its height. Well, let's actually, before we see this in the Gemara, let's play this out in our heads in terms of the height of this basket. If the basket is 4x4 tefachim, which it is, and 10 tefachim high. Now, 10 tefachim high, this part's a little bit tricky, meaning you're holding the basket. In other words, its height is really just based on the fact that you're holding it up. There's no pole really holding it from the ground up. So admittedly, that part's a little bit tricky. I'm there. But still, the idea is that in Rishos Harabim, we're talking now generally, when I have any area in the Rishos Harabim, that's 4x4 in area, and 10 tefachim high, do you know what that is now? That's now a Rishos HaYachid. That's the base minimum requirement of a Rishos HaYachid, and so therefore, that area now defines as a Rishos HaYachid. If I go over and walk through the street and place an item down on any pedestal in the Rishos HaRabim that has these base minimum dimensions, so then you just violate the Malach of Otsah. You just transferred from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachin. If this basket is over 10 tefachim high, now it's a Rishos HaYachin. Now again, let's play this out. Let's do this outside first, and then we'll see it in the Gemara. Let's say the basket is below 10 tefachim. Okay. An area below 10 tefachim, that's 4x4. So what's that area? Presumably that area is a Carmelis. Any area now that's significant but doesn't have pure definitions. I say pure. I mean, like I said in the beginning of the Masechta, there are only two defined areas min HaTorah, Rishos HaRabim, Rishos HaYachid. So now if I have a significant area, and it's significant because it's 4x4 Tefachim, but it's below 10 Tefachim, so it's not a Rishos HaYachid, so what is it? So it's a Carmelis. So now the problem is as follows. We're looking for a scenario where I may transfer of an item from a Rishos HaYachid to a Rishos HaRabim. The Gemara now, because of this problem that I need a makum dala dala, tells me that you're holding a basket. You're holding a basket in the house, that's great. The house is Rishos HaYachid, the basket's Rishos HaYachid, that's great. But when you're holding the basket in the Rishos HaRabim, so now you're going to get stuck. The basket is either going to be a Rishos HaYachid, which means essentially you transferred from a Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaYachid, or the basket's going to be a Carmelis, which means that you transferred from a Rishos HaYachid to a Carmelis. But you did not transfer from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim, and that now is going to be the technical problem which the Gemara is going to deal with. So the Gemara spells all this out. Hatenach Shranaskel Rishos HaYachid, El Traskel Shem Rishos HaRabim, Rishos HaYachid, Elema Deloka Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. And you want to tell me now that we're going to have to dismiss an opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? De Tanya, the Gemara introduces us to this opinion. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Natz Kana Rishos HaRabim, Uve Rosho Traskel. So here in this case, you have a stick in the ground, and on top of the stick, you have a basket. And this basket is an area of dal by dalet. And the chiddush is, by the way, is that even though the entire dal by dalet area doesn't go all the way down to the base, it's situated on a stick. But still, as long as the top of it is an area of dal by dalet, zark v'nach agabav chayev, if you throw an item onto it, into this basket, you're going to be chayev. Now, he's describing a scenario where you were in a Rishos HaRabim and you threw it on top of this basket, which is now defined as a Rishos HaYachid. And now you're going to be chayev. The E, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Pasha Balabai, Sesiad, Lechutz, Venasan, Lesochet, Shalani, Amai Chayev, Me Rishos HaYachid, Le Rishos HaYachid, Kamapik. So you're transferring it from one Rishos HaYachid to another Rishos HaYachid, and now, in solving for one problem, you've now entered into a new problem, which is, yes, now you have a makam dalad adalid, but now this basket redefines itself in terms of what domain it is. It is no longer Rishos HaRabim, but now it is an area of a Rishos HaYachid. And then all you did now is just transfer from one Rishos HaYachid to another, and obviously the Mishnah is trying to teach us about the Malach of Otsah, where I transfer from Rosh Hashiach to Rosh Hashiach. The Gemara addresses, the Gemara answers, Afilu Tam Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Hasam Lamala Miyun, Hacha Lemata Miyun. Well, the basket was not being held above 10 tefachim, the basket was held below 10 tefachim. And since the basket was held below 10 tefachim, it doesn't qualify as a Rosh Hashiach. Okay. So now, as much as the Gemara now has offered this as an answer, and before we move on to the Gemara, but you have to wonder, if the basket's below 10 tefachim, it's still an area of Dala by Dalad, and if it's still an area of Dala by Dalad, so it's not a Rosh Hashiach anymore. That basket area now is considered a Carmelis. So once again, even though the Gemara seems satisfied with this answer, it's difficult to understand, because now all you did is you transfer from Rosh Hashiach to a Carmelis. How does that work? Third Tosus on the Amud. Kan lamata miyud v'im tomer. Tosus says, Nehi de Rosh Hashiach lo have, Rosh Hashiach nami lo have. So good, this basket that's below 10 tefachim is not a Rosh Hashiach, it's not a Rosh Hashiach. Ela ke Carmelis. Kamo Amud gavo shlosha v'rachav dalet. V'amachayev. When I have any raised area in the Rosh Hashiach, and raised means it has to be above 3 tefachim. We'll see why in just a moment. And it's below 10 tefachim. So any raised area in Rosh Hashiach now has the status of a Carmelis. So this basket now should have the status of a Carmelis. And again, in explaining our Mishnah, that's not good, because we're looking for a simple transfer from Rosh Hashiach to Rosh Hashiach. So this question of Tosfos is very, obviously it's a very difficult question. V'yesh lamar, one suggestion, I'm only going to read just a little bit to Tosfos. V'yesh lamar de'in karmos bekelim, kamosh perish rashi l'kam, and gabay ha'isa kupasim u'nachas. So a suggestion, says Tosfos, is that maybe the status of Carmelis does not apply to a kli, to any movable item, so it's never going to gain the status of a Carmelis. It's a difficult answer. Rashi's going to say a little bit later on. It's a difficult answer. Why? Because, well, I mean, it's just, in of itself, it's a little bit challenging. Because we just learned together that if it's above 10 tefachim, then it's a Rosh Hashiach. Yeah. Oh, but if it's below 10 tefachim, exactly. What is it? Yeah. So now we're suggesting that because it's a kli, it doesn't define as a Carmelis, so now it's still part and parcel of the Rosh Hashiach. Okay. Yeah. It's certainly a challenging answer, but you have to say something, meaning the question obviously becomes very strong. With all this stated, the Gemara is still not satisfied with any of the suggestions we just said. Kasha le Rabbi Abba, back to the Gemara, right in the middle of the Amud. So, mi ketani traskal shibiyado, vehayado ketani. He's still just so bothered by this idea that that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that it was transferred from the balabais to the hand of the ani. And it didn't say traskal. And so now, admittedly, the solution is good, but it simply is not in agreement with the wording of the Mishnah. So Alamar Rabbi Abau Kagon Shashil Shal Yad Lamata Migimel VeKibla. So the Gemara says, okay, so he's going to try now giving other ukimtas, other circumstances in which this answer would work. Where's your hand right now? Your hand is within 3 tefachim of the ground. And here now we're introduced to the idea of Lavud for the first time in our Masechta. The idea of Lavud is that when I have any item within proximity of another item, the two items are considered as if they're one entity. And so this concept of Lavud tells us that when the proximity has to be within 3 tefachim, your hand is within 3 tefachim of the ground, your hand now becomes part and parcel of the ground. So by putting in the hand, it's tantamount to putting on the ground based on the principle of Lavud. So the Gemara says, V'kibla, v'ha omeid kitani. Okay, that's very good. But the Mishnah says you were standing. So it's very difficult to stand erect and have your hand within 3 tefachim of the ground. So b'shoches. So the Gemara says, well, he was bent over. Or the Gemara says that maybe he's standing in a pit. This answer of the Gemara, by the way, it's a nice image. It's a funny image. But also has its own... here's my best pun of the day. It has its own pitfalls. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm here all day. So Tosfos raises a problem that this pit now that's in the Rosh Hashiach, isn't it now its own domain?
Right.
Isn't it a Rosh Hashiach? Okay, so Tosfos is bothered by that. Tosfos tries to address that problem. Again, with every solution, it's great to see the Gemara operate, right? We have a problem, we have to solve a problem, but with every solution there comes ancillary problems. So good. So the Gemara says, and see Tosfos for that discussion. But anyway, you're standing in a pit, so that's how your hand can now be within 3 tefachim of the ground. Ibai sema bananas, or maybe we're talking about somebody who is a dwarf And so therefore his hand, even as he's standing, is within three tvachim of the ground. Okay, Amar Rava, so as you can imagine, the Gemara right now is getting frustrated. So Amar Rava, ichbotan leishmin and kolhani. So Rava says, really? So you're telling me now that the Mishnah, which is giving us a basic rule, right? It's just telling us fundamentals regarding the Malach of Otzah, transference from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabin. In order to make sense of the Mishnah, we have to be talking about these cases which are convoluted. They're talking about cases where you're bent over, or you're in a pit, or we're talking about a dwarf. Really, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us? And even the, my tone over here, I think, is correctly expressing what Rav is saying. Right? Ichbal Tana, is the Tana just now like literally doubling over to try to give us these examples? So Alama Rav, so Rav says, no, the answer is fundamental. And finally, I know it took some time, right? 2 days to get to this answer, but the Gemara finally arrives at this fundamental approach, which is Yadusha Adam Chashuv Lo Kedala Adalad. So we have this idea that it's a hand, but the hand is significant. Obviously, the hand is significant. In other words, whenever we are handing things off from one person to another, so it's the hand that is really making the usage of this, of transference. And so therefore, even though physically it's not a makam dal al dalin, but it's chashuv, it's significant. And that significance automatically gives it the status of a makam dal al dalin. And the hand is considered chashuv. It's like considered dalid al dalid. If I can, we'll just quickly, we go back to Tosos yesterday. Tosos cites sourcing in terms of why there is a requirement of a makam dal al dalid. Tosos in yesterday's daf in the Amud Aleph and Dalamud Aleph. So he gave two explanations. He quoted Rabbeinu Tam. Ein regilus liyosa chefetz bepachus mi dalid. V'chein ayam estama b'mishkan. So Rabbeinu Tam said, well, you know, ostensibly, when you put things down, you put it on a significant area. And when you take it off, you're taking it off a significant area. So this approach of Rabbeinu Tam fits in wonderfully with what the Gemara is now saying. The Gemara now is saying is that your hand, even though it's not a makam dal al dalid, but it's significant, and just like people put things down on a significant surface area of a 4x4, so therefore your hand is also going to be considered a significant area if it's in well. According to the Re, it's a little bit more challenging. It's a little bit more difficult. Because the Re in yesterday's Gemara said, what is it? It's a drasha. Well, if it's a drasha, so then it seems to be an objective amount. In other words, just like your body area is 4x4, so too, any area that you put an item on has to be 4x4. So if it's a drasha, it's a little bit challenging to understand this idea of achshaveh. That because it's significant, therefore it's a makam dal al dal. Okay, but it's still, you probably can work it into both positions. Anyway, it's just a worthwhile consideration. Okay, we continue in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Lai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara is going to be quoting a number of statements of Rabbi Yochanan, 1, 2, 3, 4 in total, and that'll be the rest of today's daf. The first ones relate to what we just learned together. Amar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Lai, Rav Yochanan, Zar Chefetz, Venach B'soch Yadu Shel Chavero. You throw an item and it lands into your friend's hands. Chayiv, you're going to be Chayiv. My Kamashman, Yadu Shel Adam, Chashuv Alo Kedal Al Dalet. Now, tell me, what is he coming to teach me? That because he caught in his hand, and now we don't need a glove anymore, we don't need a basket anymore, we now learn together that a Makam Dal Al Dalet, I'm sorry, your hand is like a Makam Dal Al Dalet. So now, tell me, what did Rav Yochanan just teach us? V'ha'am Rav Yochanan Chadazimna. So the Gemara says, and you want to tell me that he's teaching us this very principle? Okay, but he already made that as another statement. So Ma'od Teima Animi Lehechad Achshavei Huli Adei Avla Hechad Lo Achshavei Huli Adei Imalo Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says that the Chiddush over here is as follows: when I'm receiving an item from somebody and I'm collecting it in my hand is significant because I am lending significance to my hand. Here's what I might have thought: that when I'm throwing an item to somebody and he catches it, obviously he's catching with his hands. But because I didn't necessarily give it significance, it does not have the status of a makam dal al dalet. What the second statement is coming to teach me is that this idea that yado shel adam is kemakam dal al dalet is an objective halacha. And it's not based on subjectivity, and it's not based on anyone's consideration. The hand is so significant in of itself, it always will take on the definition of a makam, an area of a makam dal al dalet. No, when you throw it to somebody and he didn't have to move, you did both. Uh-huh. You did the akira, you did the hanacha. He himself is totally potter. It'd be no different than me handing it to somebody else. Okay.
The one who threw it didn't have the machshava that it should land on the other guy's hand. That's what it means by this.
Even if the other person doesn't regard his own hands, the hands themselves are objectively considered a makam dala al dala. Amar Rabbi Abin, Amar Rabbi Elai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amad bim kama v'kibel chayev, Akar bim kama v'kibel pater. Okay, going over a statement that we made earlier, but now we're going to explore just a little bit more. If the person I threw it to didn't have to move, so then I did the Akira and I did the Hanacha. If he had to move in order to catch it, I did the Akira, he did the Hanacha. Taina mehachi, the Gemara quotes a brisa supporting this very idea, Acher Momim. Amad bim kama v'kibel chayev, Akar bim kama v'kibel pater. I know we saw this brisa already earlier, but good. It supports it. By Rav Yochanan, Zar Chefetz v'Nekar, Humim Kama v'Chazer v'Kiblo, Mahu. Okay, and now the Gemara, right, for those of you who enjoy a good baseball catch, so this, you could just easily envision now the Gemara. You toss the ball up in the air. You have nobody to throw it to. Fine. So now you toss it up in the air with a little bit of an arc, and now you run it and you catch it. Good. On Shabbos now, is that considered an act of Hotza'ah? So you were Zorek Chefetz. You had to move in order to catch it. You did move in order to catch it, and now you caught it. So, is this going to facilitate a malach of hotzah? Now, it could be that you're in the Rishus Rabbim the whole time, and you moved al amas Rishus Rabbim. It could be you made the transfer, you threw it from the Rishus Yachin, and you caught it in the Rishus Rabbim. Now, what is at the source of this question? So, mahu, so v'kibla mahu. My kami baile, amir vada brava, shnei kochos ba'adam echad, kami baile. So the Gemara says, this is shnei kochos, but it's with adam echad. So shnei kochos ba'adam echad, ka adam echad dami. So basically, do we view this as one person? V'chayev, and that person would be chayev. Udilma kishnei b'nei adam dami, upater. Or is it considered like shnei b'nei adam, and you're going to be pater? When you are throwing and when you're catching, do you take on the role of one person? Do you take on the role of two people? So if you take on the role of two people, what do we learn regarding two people doing one malacha? That's shnaim sha'asua. That's two people doing one malacha. And so therefore you would be pater. If you are taking on the role of one person and you are one person. But if you're taking on the role of one person, so you did the akira, you did the hanacha, and therefore you're going to be chayev. That's the way the Gemara sets up the question. It's funny. It's interesting. You can actually argue the exact flip of the way the Gemara just presented. And if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, he's on the Amud Beis. I'm not going to go through it right now. He does actually have a girsa where the argument is exactly inverted. Okay, but not for now. Amar Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hichnes Yadu Lato Chatzar Chaveiro V'kibo Megishamim. The next halacha of Rabin quoting Rav Yochanan. And that is that if you take your hand into your friend's courtyard, the courtyard is Rosh Hashanah, And you collected megisham and rainwater v'hotzi, and you now removed it chayev. You're going to be chayev, and you were standing in the rishus rabbim, and so therefore you transferred it from rishus yachid to rishus rabbim. To which the gemara says, wait 1 second, that can't be. Now maskev la rav zera mali hitinu chaver mali hitinu shamayim. Wait 1 second. In other words, let's go back to our mishnah. What happened in our mishnah? You put your hand into the rishus yachid. And then the balabayas put the item in your hand. And then you took your hand out. Who did the akira? He did the akira. Who did the hanacha? You did the hanacha. And so therefore in the Mishnah, you're both going to be potter. Right, potter lavasar, but you're both going to be potter. If I go into the courtyard while it's raining, putting my hand in that courtyard and collecting the rainwater and now bringing it out, it's the same thing. Meaning it happens to be nobody put it in my hand. But what difference does it make whether somebody puts it in my hand or Shemayim puts it in my hand? I didn't do the Akira. So, Ihu lo avid Akira. That's exactly the Gemara's point. So, lo tem akibel ela kalat. Okay, so the Gemara says, so what you did is you collected the rainwater. The rainwater made it to the ground and you collected the rainwater. V'ha be'in akira me'aga be'makum dal v'leka. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you have to be taking it from a makum dalin. So, Amar Rabbi Chiya b'rei derev huna kigon shekala me'aga be'koso. So the Gemara says, well, you collected it off the wall. Now, right now, we're assuming that the wall is a vertical wall. So when the rain is bouncing off the wall, right now the Gemara is saying, well, that's a hanacha. We all immediately react. That's not a hanacha. That's a vertical wall. A hanacha is something which is horizontal. So aga bekoto nami v'halo nachi. There was no hanacha. So kedama rava bekoto meshupa, hakanami bekoto meshupa. So the Gemara says, well, the wall was slanted. Now, even as the wall slanted, the Gemara doesn't give us the degrees, but even as the wall slanted, that's also going to be very challenging. Because with a slanted wall, it's still going to run down, and it never came to a point of rest. And we all kind of assume, and the Gemara is going to assume this as well, that in order for it to be considered a hanacha, where when I subsequently take it, that's an akira, there has to be a point of rest. And over here, there wasn't. Now, in just a moment, the Gemara will address this issue, but right now, we're kind of just responding to the question of, you need a makum dalal al dalet. So in a slanted wall, you have a makum dalal al dalet. Now, v'hechid madarava hadit nan. Now, this idea of a slanted wall being a makum dalal al dalet, so it comes to us via another halacha. This is towards the end of Masechta Erevin. Hayakor b'sefer, you're reading a book. Okay, now reading a good book back in the good old days, right? These bound books, it's a modern invention. Okay, back in the good old days, you wanted to read a good book, it was a scroll. So you're reading a scroll. And Hayakor b'sefer, al ha'iskufa. Now you happen to be standing on the iskufa. Okay, it's a front porch, but that's not really a nice way to describe it or an accurate way to describe it. This iskufa is going to, we're going to assume that it has the status of a karmelis. It is not 10 tefachim high, it's above 3 tefachim from the ground. So, let me say it clearer. It's between 3 to 10 tefachim, and it is a makam dala dalid. The public use it, so it's not a rishos yachid. Anyway, it's a karmelis. Let's call it now a karmelis. That's what the Gemara in Erevin says. Rashi over here brings it down. So it's a karmelis. So now what happens is that as you're reading it, so now some of it runs off the side. Okay? Just yesterday, you read the Megillah, and some of it just runs right off the bima. Okay, so you're going to roll it back. That's not an issue. The issue is when it's Shabbos. And kayakor b'sefer al iskufa v'nizgalgal asefer miyado. And it rolls away from you. Golalo et slow. So what do you do? It's actually really simple. You just roll it back to you. Now, over here, you're already holding on to one end of it. And even if it went into a Rishos HaRabim, okay, but in other words, you're holding on to one end of it. Hayakori b'rosh hagag v'nizkag ala sefer b'yado, ashelo higia liyut tfachim golo atzo, mishi higia liyut tfachim hofcho alaksav. Okay, you're on the rooftop. Now, by you being on the rooftop, that's a Rishos HaYachid. Okay. Now, as it falls out of your hands, now it's going down the side of the wall. Okay, let's not put the rooftop so high. We can. I mean, it could be a very long scroll, and it goes now down within 10 tefachim of the ground. Well, if it doesn't go within 10 tefachim of the ground, rolling it back up to you is no big deal because it never went into another domain. What is an area of a Rishus Rabbim above 10 tefachim? So we've said it time and again. We're going to keep saying it. It's a makam pater, and so therefore rolling back up to you is fine. What happens, however, if it rolls down within 10 tefachim of the ground? So now it's in the area, the airspace of a Rishos HaRabim. And now you can't roll it back up. So what do you do? Interesting. The Mishnah says, Hovcho Alaksav. So now you're going to have to leave the scroll in this really awkward position, whereas part of it's on the top of the roof, which is a Rishos HaYachid. Part of it now is in the airspace of the Rishos HaRabim. If you were to roll it back up, you'd be transferring it from a Rishos HaRabim to a Rishos HaYachid. So what you do is you just simply flip it over on its side. Why? Because you want to protect the lettering. Now, if it's going to rain, it's not going to be much of a protection, but the Gemara is assuming right now it's not so much an issue of the elements. You just simply are going to invert it so that the writing is going to be facing the building. Anyway, v'havinan ba. That's the Mishnah. Now we're going to ask a really simple question. Amai hovcha laksav, what are you doing turning it over? So halonach, it never rested. In other words, in order for this to be a transfer from a Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid, it had to have been resting in the Rishos HaRabim. If all it's doing is just dangling in the airspace of the Rishos HaRabim against the side of the wall, that's nothing, halachically. V'amar Rava b'kosa m'shupa. So the Gemara says, okay, and this is where Rava originally said his answer, that the wall over here was slanted, like the Leaning Tower of Pizza. And so the wall was slanted, and so now that's considered like it's munach, that's considered like it's rested. And now, and it's below 10 tefachim, and now because it's below 10 tefachim, and it's resting in the Rishos HaRabim, that's why you cannot roll it back up, because by doing so, you'd be transferring it from a Rishos HaRabim to the Rishos HaYachid. Okay. Now, Eimad Amar Rava B'Sefer David Danayach. So the Gemara says, wonderful. Now that I know where Rava gave this answer primarily, and now I'm borrowing the answer, it's a little uncomfortable. It's a little bit awkward. Because the answer that the original case was a scroll that can rest on the side of a building that's slanted. However, water is always going to be running down. Mayim mi avidi denayche. And so water doesn't rest on the side, even if the wall's slanted. the water is going to run down. And so therefore, we're going to go back to the halacha that was taught to us by Rav Yochanan, that if I collect water in somebody else's chatzir and bring it to Rishus Rabim, I'm going to be chayiv. And the simple question is, yeah, but the water never came to rest. And even if it's running down a slanted wall, that's not considered a hanacha. So Elam Rava Kagon Shekala Me'agabi Guma. So the Gemara says, okay, so what I did is I scooped the water up from a pit. In other words, what happened was is that there was a small pit in the chatzar. I'm standing in the Rishus Rabim. I draw the water out of the pit. I collect the water out of the pit, and I bring it into the Rishus Rabim. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Okay, now with all said and done, so do you know what Rav Yochanan taught us? Nothing new. In other words, points that we can already know just from learning the Mishnayos. So the Gemara says, water on top of water is considered resting state. Halachically, when you have a liquid on top of a liquid, you could have made the argument that that's not considered resting state. And so therefore, that's not considered like I was oker the water, because that's not considered resting state. The Chiddush now of Rav Yochanan, the new idea that he's introducing, is that water on top of water is considered resting state. And so therefore, when I pick the water up, that's an akira. If I have water on top of water, that's considered resting state. Now, if I have a nut floating on water, that's not considered resting state. A solid, it could be an example, but a solid on top of a liquid is not considered resting state. And so therefore, when I pick it up, so technically, that's not an akira. Gemara now has a very inventive and creative question. I have a nut that's in another utensil that's floating on the water. So now, do I look at the nut relative to the utensil that it's in? Do I look at the nut relative to the water that eventually it's floating on? And the Gemara says, good question. The question remains unresolved, and obviously the difference would be if I'm looking at it relative to the kli, so then that's considered hanacha. My me picking it up, that would be considered nakira. If it's relative to the water, so then that's liquid, that's solid on top of liquid, and that's not considered resting state. The Gemara Teku leaves this question unresolved. Shemesh esaf agabe yayin. If I have oil that is floating on top of wine, machloki Rav Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. So as we're going to see in just a moment, as we're going to see right now, that's the machlokas d'tnan. The Mishnah here quotes, Shemen shesaf agabe yayin, if I have oil floating on top of wine, v'nago tvul yom b'shemen. And what happens is that somebody who's a tvul yom touches now the shemen. So is it that he touched the shemen, but we do not view his contact as also making contact with the oil underneath, or do we view his contact as making contact with both? So lo pasal ala shemen bilvad. According to the Tanakhama, he only touched the shemen. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Shnei Mechubar Mzelezeh. And according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, they're considered Mechubar, they're considered having contact one with the other. And so therefore, by touching the oil, it's as if he touched the wine as well. And how does that translate now in terms of the halachas and the principles of Hanacha? So the Rashi says that Lo Pasal Al Shem and Bavad, Lefi She'enu Chibur Zelezeh. So if we go with the Chachamim's viewpoint that it's only the oil that becomes Tameh, so now we are viewing them as a non-chibur. They're non-connected. They're disconnected. V'lo timei hilkach lo pasul le'liyayin. L'inyin Shabbos nami. Havei k'davar acher hatzaf alamayim delav haynu hanachto. And vis-a-vis hanacha, it's now going to be viewed as a foreign entity. And since it's being viewed as a foreign entity, so that's not considered resting state. Meaning resting state now, we're saying it like this. Resting state means that it has to be water on top of water. It's not just liquid on top of liquid, but it has to be similar liquids one on top of the other. Once the items now are so dissimilar, meaning obviously solid over liquid is so dissimilar, but even within liquids, if I have one type of liquid another, two different densities, one's floating on top of the other, so according to the Chachamim, that also is not considered resting state, and therefore picking the oil up over the wine is not considered an akira. One last halacha to do for today. Am Rabbi Abin, Am Rabbi Lai, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Hayatan ochlin mashkim nechnas v'yotze kol hayom kulo, eino chayev ad shi'amod. If a person loaded himself up with food and drink, he was at a shmorg, and it was really good. And he took a lot. But his intention was not to go outside. I know, you can challenge that. But his intention was not to go outside. And then he made an executive decision. You know what? I'm full. I'm going to bring what I have, whatever I have left over outside. So, in order to be qualified as an Akira, when I picked it up, at the time when I picked it up, there had to have been intent to take it outside. Since over here in this circumstance, when you picked it up, you did not have intention to go outside, that's not considered an Akira, that would qualify towards Chilul Shabbos. Now, with that stated, the Gemara is now making an additional point, which is, let's say I picked it up not to go outside, and I walked around, and then I said, you know what? You literally, physically stopped, and you said, you know what? I'm going outside. That stopping is now going to qualify as your Akira in order to go outside. So, Hayaton, and let's read this again inside. Hayaton, Ochlan, Mashim, Nechnas, Vyose, Koloyam, Kuloyinu, Chayev. So, if you're walking around the whole time, you're not going to be Chayev. Ad, Shia, Amod. Once you stop, so now your next step is going to qualify as your Akira. Amar Abaye, Vahusha, Amud, Lafush. So, Abaye says, okay, that's very good. You had to stop for a significant time. A significant time. Mimai, Midamar, Amar, Tokdal, Amos, Amud, Lafush, Pater. Likatef chayev. So if you pause long enough, lafush basically rest, catch your breath. That's significant. If it's likatef, if it's just simply to redistribute the weight of the item from one shoulder to another, so then that's not considered stopping, and then you would be you'd be chayev. Chutz l'dal amos, but if it's more than dal amos, amal lafush chayev likatef potter. I'm sorry, amal lafush chayev likatef potter. If you're traveling more than four amos, and before you travel those in excess of four amos, so you stop in order to catch your breath, now that's considered these four amos that you walked are going to be with an akira and a hanacha. If, however, you just did it to redistribute the weight, that's lekatef, so then you would be pater. My kamash malan shalaisa akira mishav yishona lekach. So the Gemara says, okay, and so what's the novel idea? Well, I already articulated it, but the novel idea is that in order to qualify as an Akira, you had to pick it up with the intention of going outside. So, Hamra Rav Yochanan Chadazimna. The Gemara says, yeah, but Rav Yochanan told us this already. The Amr of Safra, Amr Rabbi Ami, Amr Rav Yochanan, Hamavir Chafetim Izavas Zavis. If, let's say, you pick up an item just to take it from one corner of the room to the other corner of the room, Vinimla Chalehem, and while the item is in your hand and while you were in motion, you decided, you know what? I'm going to go outside. Vehotzion, and you took them outside. Pater shalaisa akira misharishona lekach. That wasn't your original intent when you picked it up. Your original intent was just to simply walk around from one corner to another corner, and so therefore this does not qualify as an akira that would result in the malacha of hotza. The only problem the Gemara has right now is that Rav Yochanan taught this over two times over. Rav Safra quoted him saying it, and Rabbi Avin quoted him saying it, and right now the Gemara thinks that one of the times was unnecessary. The Gemara says very simply, "Amarai ninu mar amar la b'hai lishna, omar amar la b'hai lishna." No, they're both saying the same thing. One's just saying it in one lashon, the other one's saying it in another lashon, but they're both saying principally the same thing. Okay, let's recap our morning. Okay, first half of today's daf dealt with the question that we started with on yesterday's daf. The Gemara asked on Dalamad Aleph, when you put something in somebody's hands, that's an Akira, that's a Hanacha, that's what our Mishnah taught us. It's not a Makom Dalet HaDalet. For Akira and Hanacha to work, it has to be on an area that's a Makom Dalet HaDalet. The Gemara, starting with yesterday, going well into today's daf, gave a number of suggestions. Maybe we're holding like Tanaim, who don't subscribe to this rule of Dalet HaDalet, who don't require a Makom Dalet HaDalet. The Gemara struck out over there. The Gemara says, well, maybe our Mishnah is circumstantial. You're holding a basket. Gemara did not like that answer. You're holding a basket and you're holding it in the Rishus HaRabim and it's above 10 Tfachim, it's a Rishus HaYachid. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. And even if it's below 10 Tfachim. So, well, I Tosha says it's a Carmelist, but the Gemara didn't like the circumstantial answers. The Gemara says, well, maybe your hand was below 3 Tfachim. Maybe you were in a pit. Maybe you're a dwarf. So the Gemara again did not like any of these answers. The Gemara then finally arrived at a principled answer, which is Yadosh Adam Chashuv Alo Kemakom Dala Adalid, that your hand is significant, and because of the significance of your hand, it now is going to have the status of a Makom Dala Adalid. That's the Gemara's conclusion. And then for the remainder of today's daf, we went through numerous halachas of Rav Yochanan. One, that when I throw it to somebody and you have to move to catch it, I did the Akira, I did the Hanacha. If he had a run to catch it, I did the akira, he did the anacha, and that now becomes a shared malacha, and so we're going to both be putter. Two, we learned that the Gemara asked the question, if I throw it up on an arc and then I catch it, is that considered like I did everything, or is that, am I now going to be divided to two different people? Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Next halacha of Rav Yochanan. If I collected water from my friend's courtyard and I brought it outside, so I'm going to be chayiv. After a lengthy give and take, the Gemara says, what's the chiddush? Chiddush is that the water was resting on top of other water. That's considered hanacha. Water relative to water is considered munach. Water relative to a solid item is not considered a hanacha. So if I have a nut resting on water and I pick the nut up, that doesn't qualify as a picking something up from a rested area. Another halacha of Rav Yochanan is that if, let's say, I pick an item up, but not with the intention of going outside, just with the intention of walking around the room, and then afterwards I go outside and I didn't significantly stop, so that's not an akira, and one would not be violating the malacha of otzah. If, however, you significantly stop before going outside, that's akira's gufo, and that would violate the malacha of otzah.